I'm here with the expectation tonight. Are you guys, do you have expectation? Just receiving from God, receiving from the Holy Spirit, receiving from what He has for you tonight. So I want to read from Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Tonight we are starting off with our series called Mission Possible. The mission is possible. The mission that God has given us, and we're going to look at that for the next 4 weeks. Tonight, first scripture I want to read is, I said, Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. You know, those are the words of Jesus. I remember a while after I got saved, I suddenly read that scripture and it struck me like a lightning bolt. You know, it says that the gospel will be proclaimed among the nations, and when it's proclaimed among all the nations, that's it. That's the end. You know, the end has come. You know, where God talks about, you know, the judgment day and when we're going to heaven. But God has actually put it in our hands. I don't know if you realize, and that's what I realized that moment. You know, God has placed this awesome responsibility in the hands of Christians to take the gospel into the nations so that the end can come. So that Jesus can come back for His glorious bride and He can come and redeem this earth. We're going to return to that scripture a bit later. Just want to quickly share in terms of the vision. We're looking at Psalm 72 verse 19. This is the vision that God has given us. Is this a bigger, the big picture vision for the church? Psalm 72 verse 19 says, blessed be His glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. Habakkuk 2 verse 14. You'll recognize that one from the conference, the Shofar conference, if you were there. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. Alright, now that's just a promise for us. That's for the church. If you ever want to wonder what is the church's goal, what is the church to do, it's a very simple thing. It's exactly that. It's to bring the knowledge of the glory of God to this earth. If you didn't know, or if you're new with us tonight, I didn't talk to the band about the worship. The worship, you know, was inspired by God. Some of you will get that a bit later. If you listen to the song list again, you might get it. But God says that we must take His glory into the world. And I love what John Piper says. He says, missions exist because worship does not. Did you get that? So what is God looking for? He's looking for worshippers. He wants us to worship Him. He's searching for those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. So, you know, there's two very fundamental questions answered for you there. You know, what is God wanting of you? What is He looking for? He's looking for worshippers. We spoke about that quite a bit last week. But the reason why we do missions is because worship doesn't happen anywhere, everywhere. Happens a lot of places, but it doesn't happen everywhere. You know, and it's up to us as Christians to go and to take worship to those places. And that's why worship is so important. You know, and just coming together tonight, it's so powerful because we come into the presence of God and we come to align with what God is doing. You know, I'm actually jumping ahead of myself, but the Holy Spirit is like a massive wind. He's like a wind that's blowing. God's purposes, God is moving. He's building His church. It's like this massive wind, and you are on a windsurfer. You must just catch the wind. You know, it's not us. We can't do anything. We can't change people. We can't change nations, but the Holy Spirit can. And we must catch it. We must come into line with that mighty wind. And as we come into line with that wind, God does amazing things. That's why we worship. to come into the presence of God, to catch that wind. Now, I want to speak of just three things. I want to focus on three things, just three specific points tonight. I'm not going to be very long, because I want us actually to come to praying. Because we're going to just spend some time in ministry tonight, and allow the Holy Spirit to actually commission us in this place of sending us as worshippers into the world so that we can take worship out there. It was so amazing this morning, as I shared about the holistic fair. It's just so simple to take worship to people. God is so willing. If you didn't know that, I want to just say that over and over and over and over tonight. My experience, and you'll experience it as you go as well. But God is so willing to take His presence out there into the world. Psalm 2 verse 8 says, "Ask of me, and I shall give you the nations for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession." Sometimes, so many times we ask God for things, and we ask God, you know, Lord, give me this, or give me that. It's all these small things. Did you realize that God's plans for you are bigger than you can imagine? Look at this. It says, ask of me and I will give you the nations. And I'll just think of that for a moment. He's not saying, you know, I'm going to give you, you know, maybe just the street, the avenue that you live in. You know, He's not just saying, I'm going to give you the suburb, not just the city. Nations. Just grasp that for a moment. Nations. God wants to give us as our inheritance. And then Proverbs 11 verse 30 says, godly men are growing a tree that bears life-giving fruit. Isn't that amazing? Godly men and women, of course, are growing a tree that bears life-giving fruit. In other words, if you're connected to God, Jesus says that if you are connected into the vine, if you're connected into the Father, you will bear fruit. So godly men bears life-giving fruit. These fruit are fruit that we can take and give to people and they can eat of them. Spiritual fruit that people won't necessarily get at any other place. But we can give it to them. We can share of the fruit that God produces through us. And then it says, and all who win souls are wise. Okay, now we're talking about Proverbs here. What is the opposite of wisdom, if you think of Proverbs? Folly. Foolishness. So, all who don't win souls are foolish. Alright, it says, and those who win souls are wise. This is all of us. This is our mandate. But more than just a mandate, it is our inheritance. Inheritance that God has given us. And this is one of the amazing things in our Christian walks. You know, when we come to God, God does amazing things. He comes, He washes us clean, takes the blood of Jesus, applies it to us, and then suddenly all our sins are taken away. We are washed as white as snow. Suddenly, we don't have that shame, that guilt anymore. We can stand in the presence of God and we can experience God. The veil, as we sang tonight, is torn. We can approach God freely. That's the first thing. The second thing that God does in our inheritance is He gives us a divine protection. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but God gives us a protection of the blood, Jesus' blood covering us. There's so much, I can do a sermon series on this, but there's so much just about the blood of Jesus that comes to cover us. The blood, the door and the blood on the doorposts. The priests that were anointed on their fingers, ears, big toe for the protection. Go and read Old Testament and just see, just the inheritance through the protection of the blood of Jesus that we receive. But more than that, we receive an earthly inheritance. God has given us all inheritance that we must walk in and we must claim. But it says, please note, Psalm 2, it says, ask of me. In other words, you must desire it. If you're not going to desire the inheritance that God has for you, you're not going to get it. You must ask for it. You must ask God and hunger. Hunger for Him and for the inheritance that He has for you. Now, a couple of years ago, after I studied, I was asking the Lord, praying to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I was still in Stellenbosch at that time. I finished my studies there. I said, Lord, I was asking for, God to provide just a work for me, a job. So I was praying. I said, God, I pray that you would send me any place. Lord, you can send me to London. You can send me to Johannesburg. You can send me any place, but please don't send me to Cape Town. And then I said, and especially not the southern suburbs. And I said, but I would prefer to work in Stellenbosch. So it wasn't long after I prayed that prayer that I got a job in Stellenbosch. I started working, worked for a month as an engineer. And then one day, the boss phoned me from Johannesburg and he said, okay, but we're going to move now to the southern suburbs. So God did a divine setup there. And I ended up, working in the southern suburbs. I still stayed in Stellenbosch because I believe that was what God was calling me at the time to stay there. So every day I would drive from Stellenbosch to Claremont. If you've done that on a daily basis, it's quite hectic traffic-wise. It takes a lot of time. Anyway, so every day I would drive on the N2, on the M3, come down and go to work. And as I would drive on the M3, I would pass UCT, and I just felt the Lord say, pray for this campus. Just pray for the church here. And by that time, I thought that the Shofar Cape Town church, I had never been to a Shofar Cape Town service at that time. I didn't know what's happening at the church. So I thought the church was still on the campus, but it wasn't. It was in Gardens already. So I would pray. The Lord said to me every day, every morning and every evening, every afternoon, I would pray and proclaim and prophesy over UCT. And it was about 2 years after that, the church phoned me and said, okay, but can you come and, come and start the ministry at UCT for us? So God is not confused. Amen? He knows absolutely the fact that I prayed for 2 years without my knowing I'm going to be here. God prepared everything. He prepared me. He gave me, by the end of those 2 years, I had such a heart for that campus, for this campus, and for this area, for Rondebosch, because God has purposed me to be here. And I know without a shadow of doubt that God has called me to here, to this place. And I want to encourage you to know that for yourself as well. The place where God has placed you, the inheritance that He's given you, you must know that He's given it to you. There mustn't be a doubt. God wants to say that to you, wants to reveal that to you. If He hasn't already, if you're wondering, if you're doubting tonight, we're going to pray. We're going to do some ministry. The Holy Spirit is going to speak to you clearly tonight. So we're going to worship at the end. That's our inheritance. Next thing I want to say is, there's an urgency. When we talk about the glory of God going into the world, the gospel needing to be spread, there's an urgency that we must take this gospel into the world, because there's a promise that there will be an end. And so many times, and often in many places the Bible speaks, Jesus speaks of an eternal judgment. You can actually go and read in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. It says, one of the most fundamental doctrine of Christianity is the fact that there's an eternal judgment. Let me put it in other words, hell. Phew, a lot of shocking faces now. But, we don't often talk about hell these days. But do you know it's a reality? In fact, if you don't believe in a hell, why would Jesus come to do His sacrifice? From what do we need to be saved from? So hell is a very real thing. The only thing is, You know, we think that, you know, God has made hell for people, but it's actually not that the case. God has made hell for the devil, for Lucifer. But because of people's choices and the things that we do, God is going to have to punish us. I'm not going to, if you want to know the doctrine of eternal judgment, speak to Rudy, join Bible school. It's a whole teaching on its own. I'm not going to go into that. But what I want to say here tonight is there's an urgency. There's an urgency. It's not just an inheritance that God has given us. And if I want to, if I like to, when I feel like it, when I feel motivated, I'm going to take up my inheritance. No, it's not like that. There's an urgency. We must be busy with our Father's work. We must, and let me make it very practical, we must reach out to those that are lost. And if you think of a city like Cape Town, there's a lot of lost people. There's a lot of people that just don't know. They haven't had a testimony. That's what that scripture says. It says that when the nations have heard a witness, not just heard about Jesus, not just heard about the gospel, because you know, many Muslim nations that are close for the gospel knows about Jesus, and they've got a certain picture of Jesus. You know, and if you ask them, it'll be very far from what we believe today. But there's an urgency. I'll never forget. A couple of years, it was very soon after I came to salvation. I had a friend, his name was Bernard. We went to high school together, and then we had some classes together at varsity. I came to salvation, and you know, I knew he wasn't saved. I knew he didn't know the Lord. So I reached out to him. I invited him to cell, and then I think he came a couple of times. I think he came twice or three times, and then suddenly just didn't come. So I tried to follow him up once or twice, and then eventually He just stayed away. I saw him at class, but he sort of just avoided me. And then things went on, you know, our lives parted. He continued to study, and I came to Cape Town, all of that. And then a couple of years later, someone sent me a newspaper article that said Bernard Bruins committed suicide. He jumped off a bridge. What's that place they did bungee jump? Gauritz. He jumped off a bridge. He committed suicide. He drove from Stellenbosch to there, and he jumped off a bridge. And as I read that article, it suddenly struck me. I had relationship with that guy. I could speak into that guy's life. And now, you know, firstly, it goes through your mind, what could I have done more? You know, what could I have said more to this guy? You know, and if I only knew at that time when I was building a relationship with him that would be his end, would I have not done something more? Would I have not been more urgent about what I'm doing? You know, and I'm not saying, you know, maybe I could have done more. Maybe I could have, you know, said more and shared more of my life. And maybe I was selfish at that time. And I believe, I've actually prayed about this quite a lot. I don't believe God is going to judge me, but I believe that God wants me to really learn from this, to really grow in this. And I want to ask you just to think of just the people that are around you and just to look at them in a different way. Look at the urgency. Because this life is so short. It's but a vapor. Even if you look at the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 70 talks about a prophet. If God speaks to the prophet, and the prophet, he says, if I speak and you must give this prophetic message to someone, and you don't do that, This is very straight ministering tonight. But if I give you this message and you don't give it to that person, then his blood will be on your hands. If you give the message to that person, go and read it for yourself, then his blood will not be on your hands. It's just very real things, you know, that I'm just bringing up, and I'm not bringing any condemnation. I see a lot of serious faces now, so we just need to, you know, get the balance here. There's no condemnation, but God wants to take us to take it seriously. He wants us to take seriously what He speaks to us about, and He wants us to take seriously the relationships and the people that He's given us. Right. The final point for tonight. Now, why is this mission possible? Okay, we've shared some of it already. The mission is possible because there's a promise. There's a promise that the whole earth will be covered with God's glory. There's a promise of an inheritance that God has given us. But there's also a promise of the end, of a culmination, where we get the urgency. But then, very excitingly, there's a promise of power. There's a promise of the Holy Spirit coming to help us to do this. Because this is it's a great task, it's a great mission, and it's a difficult mission, but we've received the enablement. And this is the enablement, the Holy Spirit. It says in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. Another scripture, Paul says, "The gospel is not of eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." But there's a power that comes, and I want to come back just to that illustration of the wind. The Holy Spirit is that wind that's blowing. Sometimes we get the idea the Holy Spirit is not a servant. The Holy Spirit is called the helper. The helper is the word, the same word that they use for a wife. A wife is the helper of the husband. You know, so it's the one that comes alongside. The Greek word literally means someone that comes alongside. And he helps us to do what we need to do. So, what I'm saying tonight is this is a mission. This is a challenge to take the gospel to the whole world. But there's an enablement. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit that we experience. The Spirit that brings peace and joy and power is with us. I'll read a final scripture before we're going to pray. It says in Psalm 12, God says, "Now it is time for me to arise." He's talking in that context. He's talking about the fatherless. He's talking about the broken. And he says, "It is time for me to arise. I'm going to arise. And I'm going to step in for the fatherless. I'm going to step in for the broken." And it's that place where God is moving. And God is a God that is mighty to do the things that He wants to do. And He's zealous for what He wants to do. And it's up to us to just come and to join in what God is doing. It's like a big wave. The surfers will enjoy this one. It's like a big wave. If you get on your surfboard, you're gonna take this wave. You're gonna go. It's not your moving. It's not like you doing something. You're just catching what God is doing. Can I ask us all to please stand? The band to come up, please. I remember when I came to salvation, I literally, you know, I went to pubs. Most of you know my testimony. I went to the pubs often, and I came to salvation, and it was this amazing experience. I experienced God. I experienced that He loved me for the first time. So, I was so surprised, I was so amazed of this secret that was never revealed to me, that I wanted to go back to the pubs. I remember I went to my friend and I said, listen, we must go to the pubs. Because I realized that I was at the pubs the previous week, you know, and I didn't know the truth. So I went out and I had such an urgency. You know, we have to go and share this message. It's an incredible message. God has come to set us free of our sin. Remember, we went, you know, every week, every Wednesday, we would go out to the pubs and we would share just the truth of Christ and the truth and the love of God. It was such an amazing time. I grew so much in that time in knowing who the Holy Spirit is and how He operates and how He functions, that set me for the rest of my life, the rest of my journey with God. I just so often I look at people that don't know the power of the Holy Spirit, that don't know the working of the Holy Spirit. But it's just a case of alignment, just a case of saying, Lord, bring me to a place where I can go. Because when we go, the Holy Spirit comes and He helps us. I want us to all close our eyes. Father, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your power, Lord. We thank You for what You have given us, Lord. We just bless You tonight, Lord. We bless You, Lord. We thank You for the inheritance that You've given us all. Tonight we want to say yes to the inheritance of Jesus Christ. If you want to respond to that tonight, you want to say, yes, Lord, I want to ask for my inheritance. Why don't you just raise both your hands and I'm just going to pray for you. Father, I thank You for Your peace. And we thank You for the joy of the harvest. I pray for every precious son and daughter, Lord, raising their hands to You right now. And I thank You, Lord, that we can just release, Lord. Just release in Jesus' name. Just Your peace, Lord. Just Your knowledge, Lord. Just Your vision, Lord. The vision that You have for every one of us and every person. Release it over us, Lord. Just where you're standing, just pray in the Spirit. Just pray in your tongue. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your presence in this place. Thank You, Lord, tonight that You are releasing Your people into what You've called them. Just spend some time with God. Just speak to Him what's on His heart, on your heart. Ask Him to stir your heart. Ask Him to stir you for what He's called you. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. We honor You, Holy Spirit. We honor You, Lord.